welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. In our ongoing quest to convert everyone to unknown skirmish games, I'm joined again by Matt.
Hello.
And today we're going to talk about A Fistful of Kung Fu.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. What a brilliant set of rules.
It really, really is awesome. I cannot say how much I have enjoyed playing A Fistful of Kung Fu.
Yep. They're relatively recent, out in the last year or so. I'm not entirely sure how long.
Last couple of months.
Oh, last couple of months.
Yeah.
So,
they're from Osprey.
Yeah, one of their kind of their burgeoning catalogue of Wargames rule sets now. So, I mean, they seem to have picked up quite a few. I've got Ronin, which is a Samurai Skirmish, which is another one of their sets, which are also very, very nicely produced. They are in hard copy, like all of the kind of Osprey books, you know, perfect bound, full colour, in that kind of anyone who's had an Osprey Men-at-Arms type book. That's the same quality that you're looking at.
Yeah, we should, yeah. So Osprey, if you don't know of them, because you've not done, you know, you've not done historicals or something, they make a lot, well, hundreds of books on particular historical periods. So if you were playing Ancients, for example, and you wanted to know about Marian Romans, one of the almost certainly the first places you would call would be the Osprey book on Marian Romans. But they have seemed to have decided to publish their own games, and they're sort of buying in the titles from other other authors, and then publishing them.
So some of them have been kind of like previously established rule sets that have been kind of self-published, and I'm thinking like Ambush Alley Force on Force, which are now published by Osprey, and others are some that I've never heard of, or that have been kind of developments of a rule set that have lived on forums for a little while. And I think this is the case with Fistful of Kung Fu, which was a development of the Ganesha Games rule sets. But they've been picked up and fully published by Osprey. And as such, then you get the proper, I say proper, the full quality that you'd expect from a professionally published set of rules.
Yeah, they're written by a guy called Andreas Fligeroy.
Yeah, that's a good attempt. That's better than what I'd have done.
That's better than done. And if you look at the acknowledgements, I mean, the playtest Azor, Italian, Sergio Lagliscana, Massimo Moscarelli.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the gentleman at the Standard Bearer in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, so not people that I know on a personal level.
No. And it does come with the obligatory coke from Sun Tzu.
Yeah.
And also by the well-known, as we were just singing, Carl Douglas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's the game about, Matt?
It is a tabletop version of the kind of... I mean, it's sold as the Hong Kong movie War Games rules. So any film by John Woo or similar directors, or those kind of pulp kung fu action films, you know, they will always be the high octane action film of the year. So things like Hard Boiled, Replacement Killers, games like that. But it also tips a wink at some of the more recent stuff, the I don't know, pardon my pronunciation, the Wuxia school of kung fu films. So you're looking at things like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon and the like, that do a lot of wire work and that kind of stylistic kung fu action.
So yeah, and even to stuff more gritty like The Raid, for example.
Yeah, and the comedy ones like Big Trouble in Little China, which it most certainly tips a wink at.
Yes, yeah, or what's the Jackie Chan one? The Drunken Kung Fu one.
Yeah.
So any if you've ever seen a Jackie Chan movie, where he goes into one of his big routines where he's using all the props around the room to disarm 20 guys and things, that's what this rule set attempts and pretty much succeeds.
Oh, it nails it without a doubt.
In achieving. So what do you need to play it? You need some figures. One of the beauties of this game is you can use any figures.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, although it's kind of coming at it from that Hong Kong rule set, I mean, I was using some, when we played, I was using some gangster figures. Pretty much any genre that you want to use, you will be able to use those figures, because it is kind of ultimately moldable around the sort of the genre you want to do. So if you want to do modern Kung Fu, you can. If you want to do kind of medieval samurai, you could. If you want to do ancient China, you can. If you want to do kind of a more, you know, again, the ridiculous action film kind of diehard type things, you could do that with these, because your characters are ultimately customizable, if that's a word.
Yeah. And, yeah, and you can, and you could go from anything. I mean, there are rules in the books for playing cyborgs,
demons, zombies,
hopping vampires,
yeah,
sorcerers, all those sorts of things get covered in the rules.
Yes. So it's a bit like some of the other rule sets we've been trying. It's a relatively low figure count. I think you're kind of talking between anywhere between kind of really 5 and 20 figures per side.
Yeah, I mean, we played the other day.
Yeah.
And we had seven figures, and we were playing a 300-point game.
Yeah.
And the recommended is a 400-point game.
Yeah.
So which would add 3 or 4 more figures, yeah, to that.
So you're on average, I think, looking at about 10 or a dozen.
Yeah. But the important thing is that effectively you have, when you build a crew, you have your protagonist, who is he's your main guy.
Yeah, he's Jackie Chan or Bruce, yeah.
And then you have you can have one bruiser
who's his sidekick.
Yeah, odd job.
Yeah.
And then you just get a shed load of extras, and extras are pretty rubbish.
Yeah, they are, exactly as it says. And again, like when we talked about Dead Man's Hand, it is a rule set that is designed to be cinematic, and it uses some of those sort of some of that nomenclature. So, you know, your lesser figures are called extras, and they are exactly that. They're extras. They're the chaff. They're the red shirts from Star Trek. They're those that will be moved around the table, but fully expect to at some point get a roundhouse kick to the face or a katana through the stomach, and will die in a suitably pathetic and cinematic style.
Yeah, well, the game we were playing yesterday, my protagonist, who was a Yakuza boss, was fighting one of Matt's cops, and just decapitated him.
Yep, head flying in and bouncing across the train in a suitable style.
And collapsing on your knees, pool of blood spreading, yep, around the body.
So, yeah, I mean, gang building, as I say, you get one protagonist, one bruiser, who is this sort of sidekick, and a handful of extras. There are a buttload of different traits or upgrades that you can assign to them, all of which obviously add to the points cost. So you can make your extras more than just, you know, bullet sponges. You can give them some abilities, things like handcuffs or bulletproof vests, whatever the theme, yep, is that you're doing.
And automatic weapons.
Yeah, two pistols. I'm just looking, quickly flicking through. You can give them a long move so they move quicker.
And then there's a load of martial arts type traits. One of your guys yesterday had the way of the intercepting fist.
Which basically means if someone tries to hit him and rolls a natural one, he is able to intercept that and he punches them first.
And if it's an extra, that generally means the extra is down and out.
Yeah, absolutely. So you build your gang up to the appropriate level of points, and then you come up with the plot. And again, that's the terminology it uses. And there are a number of sort of simple plot devices that it gives. And I think it was the attacking player gets to pick what it is. And, you know, there, yes, are a few in there, like you need to get something or kill someone or do something.
Yeah, so the plots are take something, capture someone, revenge, which was the one that we played first.
Yeah.
Discover a secret, challenge, and destroy property. So basically, yeah, standard movie tropes of a scene out of a movie that you then expand in your mind, and in collaboration with the other player. And I think that's one of the things that's important about this game, and also Dead Man's Hand, which we talked about. It's very much a collaboration with the other player to weave the story that you're playing on the tabletop.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't give you... I mean, it gives you the mechanism to create a narrative, but really... to get the most out of the game, and certainly probably the thing that we both enjoyed the most, is that kind of collaborative creation of a narrative. You know, as actions are being undertaken, you're talking and laughing and joking between each other, saying, well, this is what's happened. He's done this, or, you know, he's run up that wall and backflipped, and now he's chopped your head off. And
yeah, so we had a game, our protagonists were fighting. So Matt had the super cop,
yeah,
and I was the evil Uyuban. And my Uruban kept on trying to attack Matt, and I kept on rolling a one. So Matt's way of the intercepting fist kept on just slapping him down.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So my guy would kip up, try and punch Matt, and Matt would go, no, slap. And my guy would go back down again, just humiliating my Uruban in front of all his men.
Yeah. And, you know, we were giggling like school kids as the games were being played.
It was the most fun
I've had in a long time playing a war game.
Yeah. So the way it works is a very interesting system. Certainly not a system that I've played before.
No, it's a unique one as far as I can tell.
So you come up with the plot. You come up with there can be a twist on it. So there might be a VIP that's in the game that you can get extra effects and things from. And then when you come to deploy, you roll a dice, and the person who is the attacker deploys a figure. Anywhere on the board. There's no deployment zones or anything. You put them anywhere on the board. And then the defender places one of their figures, and it has to be 25 centimeters away from an enemy model.
Yeah.
And then you just alternate putting that, which means that your figures are all over the table.
Yeah, so none of the kind of the standard, oh, I'll start on this side, you start on that side, and we march into combat. You start off potentially in the thick of it right from the get-go.
Yep. And then... The way the game works is every model has a stat called quality. Your boss has a quality of 2, your bruiser has a quality of 3, and your extras all have a quality of 4.
Yeah.
And what you do is when you decide to... You as a player, who decide, okay, I'm going to activate this model, and say it's one of your extras. And you can decide to roll up to 3 D6s.
Yeah.
And you have to get the quality number or higher. So you roll 3 D6 and you get, say, a 2, a 4, and a 6. So you get 2 of your 3 actions.
Yeah. But there is a little table in there, depending on how successfully you roll, that then allows your opponent's protagonist, you know, his head honcho, to react. So, and that happens first. So if you choose to roll 3 dice and fail with 2 and succeed with 1, you will get your 1 action, but the protagonist may well then get to react and potentially interfere with your plans.
Yeah. And the other really interesting thing about the activation mechanism is, provided you keep making your activation rolls, you keep the activation. Your opponent doesn't get a go.
Yeah.
But if you roll 2 or more failures, so again, on an extra, if you rolled a 2 and a 3, that's 2 failures, then your turn comes to an end, regardless of whether you've activated all of your models or not. So we had one turn where my bruiser went to go first and failed his activation straight away.
Yeah, throw 3
failures. So I didn't get a go.
No, that's right. And therefore, the initiative kind of swings from one, or potentially swings from one player to another. Because you could get a string of activations, and, you know, it adds something to the game, because the chance, because you can choose to roll 1, 2, or 3 dice, that if you want to maintain the initiative and get, you know, lots of single actions, you can choose just to roll like 2 dice and try and bank on the fact that, you know, you're going to get at least one of those will be a success. And that way you can kind of maintain the initiative, whereas it might get to a particularly critical thing that you want to try and pull off, and you'll go, do you know what, I'm going to roll 3 dice and, you know, pardon the pun, roll the dice with your luck. And if you pull it off, great, you'll get your 3 actions. If you don't, then the initiative will swing back to your opponent, and then they get to do exactly the same. So it is very much that ebb and flow of initiative and action.
Yeah. And that's it. And so basically you're trying to achieve your aims. You move your models around. You can shoot. Yeah. You can get into kung fu fights and you end up, you know, grappling them to the ground and
yeah.
kick. You can knock them back into other pieces of terrain as you plant a solid kick to the chest.
Yeah, all of that good flying through the air type stuff. I really like them. I mean, it's a very simple mechanism for both. I mean, the shooting and the kung fu, or the fighting, very similar mechanisms. You both throw a dice. You both add your quality score. There's a less, you know, probably 8 or 10 modifiers that you then apply to that.
Yeah.
The result is governed by the difference in your two scores. And there is a table that gives effects, and depending on your difference, you can choose the effects, and they're kind of like 1, 2, and 3 point effects. So if I and we had, you know, we had it last night, there was a bit of combat between two figures. I beat Mike by 5 points on our combat score, which means I've got the choice then to apply those effects up to 5 points. So I could choose a 3 effect and 2 ones, or I could have chosen 2 twos and a 1, or yep. I could have chosen 5 ones. Obviously, the effects, the threes are more considerably bad for your characters because you can inflict wounds and things like that. And they graduate down to kind of
knock people out,
knock them over, disarm them.
Yes. Yes. So, my poor Oyuban with his machine gun and his samurai sword walked up to Matt's super cop. And Matt Supercop went, "No, I shall disarm you," and just knocked his sword and his machine gun out of his hands.
Yeah.
Leaving my poor Oyuban standing going, "Ah!"
Yeah, yeah, that didn't go so well for me. I think that's a really, really good mechanism. What you need against the protagonist, because obviously they are the center of the plot, they are your Supercop. You need kind of the 3 effects to really start influencing what happens with them. I mean, you can push them about, you can knock them down, but to start really having any detrimental effect on them ongoing, the 3 effects are the ones that start chipping wounds away. Ones and twos will take extras out of the game. You know, you will knock an extra out, you will kick him across the room, and he will be, in effect, dead or knocked out in that A-team laying on the floor style for the ones and twos. So it really does give the option for some fun to be had.
Yeah, and the whole knocking back thing and knocking them into your own models and things was just brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I clocked early doors, and I kicked one of Mike's extras into one of his other extras and knocked them both down.
Knocked them both down, and they're lying on the ground going, "Aah!"
Yeah, it was, it's like I say, it's everything you could want from a action film kind of rule set.
Yeah. The other thing about it, plays incredibly fast.
Yes,
we played two games in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, and didn't feel shortchanged by that in any way,
no,
shape or form.
No, we were done by 9 o'clock, and we'd played two games. Matt won the first one, humiliating my Oyuban.
Yes,
but then in the second game, my Oyuban got his revenge where He kicked Super Cop backwards, pulled out his Uzi, and then just sprayed him full of bullets.
Yeah, it would have been one of those horrible multiple squib, blood flying everywhere kind of moments.
Where you're juddering as the bullets go into you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was awesome. It really was.
I mean, yeah, we've played a few recent rule sets sort of between us. These, hands down, are my favourite set that we've picked up over the last few months. They are brilliant. Brilliant fun. Personally, I think really good value for money. I think you said, Mike, that yours were $11.99.
Yeah, 12 quid for the printer stuff. I got mine from North Star.
Yeah, you can get them from Osprey Direct. And there are some sort of second party booksellers like the Book Depository where you can get them at a slight discount. So you're looking at sort of 9 or 10 quid for the hard copy. Me and another gaming mate, we picked up the PDF, which was $7.99 direct from Osprey Publishing. And I happened to notice the other day that Amazon, they do a Kindle version, and that was on sale at $4.95. So, you know, that's an absolute bargain for the amount of fun you'll have with these rules.
Yeah, it's a great rule set. And as you say, you can use any figures that you want.
Yeah, and I guess really it doesn't necessarily have to be 28 mil. You could do stuff with 20, 50 mil. You could arguably use the great big action figure type stuff that the kids have to play with. If you want to do kind of 54 mil, it really doesn't matter.
That'd make an awesome demo game.
Oh, wouldn't it just?
No, I mean, fantastic. We're certainly going to be playing again, and we had loads of people at the club come over and watch us because they could just see we were telling the story as we were playing.
Yeah.
People just were coming over and looking at the rule set and going, oh, that looks really interesting and stuff. So,
I mean, the one thing that we did say sort of briefly off air beforehand was you cannot have enough scenery or scenic effect stuff. You know, there's lots of rules in there for, you know, you'll kick somebody into a prop and it will activate. So, you know, you could kick somebody into, a load of wooden boxes, but then they can pick up the broken wooden boxes and use them as an improvised weapon. So, you know, you don't need many figures, but I would thoroughly recommend picking up, you know, a buttload of sort of scenic effects, you know. Traffic barriers and benches.
Yeah, I think I may hit up Fenris Games and buy some of the dumpsters and things.
Yeah, I mean, and that will just add. I mean, I wouldn't say it's absolutely a necessity to get started, but it will just add to the narrative, particularly as you said with the Jackie Chan stuff, where you know he's taking people out with step ladders and fire hoses and stuff like that. You will have a whale of a time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was absolutely brilliant. It was just so good, and I think it's only going to get better as because we played with some preset gangs.
Yeah,
I think once we can start looking at our own gangs and building out traits for our own things, I've already got the hidden idea that my Oyuban is actually a sorcerer, and is going to start lobbing fireballs about.
Yeah. I mean, it's brilliant. And I guess, I mean, the one thing that we didn't mention that it could be used for, and we've spoken about in the past, about rules for superhero games, it would absolutely fit superhero gaming brilliantly.
Yes. Yes, it would. Right, we are well, well over time.
Yep, sorry about that, but our enthusiasm perhaps drove us on.
No, we liked this set of rules. I don't know if we've got any other sets of rules that we're going to try out in the near future.
Well, I've got the Ronin Samurai Skirmish ones that I've still not tried out, so I think you and me will have a try with them. I've got plenty of figures, so perhaps that's a future set.
So perhaps we will try that. So, anyway, until next time, I've been Mike.
And I've been Matt.
Oh, but Jason Statham there.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next time. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.